Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm a fireball, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. Steven Gerrard has been sacked and Cristiano Ronaldo is still in a huff. It's Friday, 21st of October. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
Happy Townsend.
Love it, Russell.
Friday and then it's Saturday and Sunday. What? Andy Brassel, look at you, eh? Come on.
You jogging up beside my car.
It's Friday, Peter. What a day to what wear a fancy shirt like you are.
You dressed up for Friday, not
I've dressed
down.
Up for Friday because I'm ready for. I can hear the jingle jangle. And it's not like Santa on the roof. It's Marcus with his keys.
Yeah. Marcus with his
They're
keys.
They're in the pocket for now, though.
They're in the pocket. In the pocket.
He looks like Nick Cave fronting Echo Belly.
Yeah.
You know, can does. I say, they're in the pocket, they come out of the pocket, they go back in the pocket. They don't leave the pocket and end up in a bowl.
No, that's
no, okay. Are they on a string?
They're in a pocket like the whole of the Aston Villa first team is in Alexander Mitrovic's pocket.
Well, indeed. He let one of them go, which was quite merciful for him. Yeah.
Well, send him off.
Yeah, exactly, Peter, exactly. Before we get to that, gentlemen, we will have a little chat about last night's matches, of course. Before we do that, we are looking forward to the weekend. It's so close. And what is the one thing that people should look out for this weekend, Andy Brassel?
What's happened? I think people should look out for what's happened to the Newcastle United T-Rex, because obviously they're at Newcastle Everton this week. There are a lot of inflatable dinosaurs to take the piss out of Jordan Pickford,
but they're very enjoyable.
One particular man,
can you explain what was particularly that? I didn't know about this.
Little lambs, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's reputedly got short arms.
He hasn't. Someone criticised him by saying he's got short arms. He didn't
Wasn't
like it.
An
very much.
Italian football.
Yeah, he reacted really badly to it, and because what you should normally do with that kind of insult is just ignore it and it'll go away. Yeah. He's
it's the Streisand effect, isn't it?
It's basically
the nub of the thing between Newcastle fans and Jordan Pickford that he constantly reacts, which is really weird. But yeah,
I get very annoyed when people would accuse me of liking Pitbull.
Everyone saw the inflatable dinosaurs.
Yes.
But not a lot
not
of
the
people
real ones.
Saw, yeah, the guy who was in the dinosaur suit running along the concourse, like waving the Newcastle United flag. Yeah. I liked him very much. But I wonder will he make an appearance at Tottenham on Sunday? Because I guess he's got less relevance
Yeah, I think the security is better at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, personally.
Well, you sound like the North East is still like the Old West. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so. I think you can get away with bringing whatever you like into St James's Park.
Well, Spurs presumably have upped their game in the security, because you remember that old fella packing
people Spurs?
Down? I think that was Spurs.
Okay, right, okay. He was great. He was like a magician.
I tell you what, go
Magic
try
hands.
And find him. You'll be all right. Peter, what should somebody or everybody look out for this week?
I'm just looking forward to figuring out who's got the Football Ramble Spurs season ticket, so I can maybe go and watch my team play football. I don't know who's got it.
You did a narrative documentary series of trying to track them down.
I am. So I'm going to find it, and then I'm going to go and I'm going to experience the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium for the first time.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
But what should people look out for? The tickets? To help you out?
If someone can tell me where the little wallet is, and that would be much appreciated.
It's the wisdom of crowds. It's unlikely if you're listening to this in Nuneaton, they're down the back of your sofa, but we know they might be.
So it's always in the last place you look.
Exactly.
Lord Ramble's on holiday, and he's the one who usually has it, so he might be listening. He might be able to let me know.
Take you 30 seconds to look down the back of your sofa.
Okay, fine, cool. That's lovely.
I'm looking forward to Erling Haaland picking the whole of Brighton out of his teeth.
Right.
After the game at the weekend, possibly using the corner flag as a toothpick. It's going to be absolutely horrific. Yeah. And I think you know, they talk about the great players down the years just affecting their area of the pitch and doing their job, and then the really brilliant players affecting the whole pitch. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be the first time that a player has affected a whole city.
It's your granddad watching Jurassic Park. It's going to be a bloodbath.
When I sat my granddad down to watch Jurassic Park for the first time over Christmas 1 year a few years ago, he'd never seen it before. He got really into it. And I said, and when all the electricity goes down the park, just to retell the story because it's ages ago, when all the electricity goes down the park, he looked at me really earnestly. Mm-hmm. He was in his late 80s at the time, and said, "Well, what's happened here?" And I said, "All the electricity's gone out in the park." And he looked back at me and just went, "It's going to be a bloodbath." I said, "I know." You couldn't believe it.
You said, "Well, I don't want to tell you what happened."
Yeah.
And they all got away scot-free.
Yeah.
Nobody was harmed. I think people should look out for those people who, at the moment, without getting too political, British politics is in a bit of a state, and you've got
people, it's actually doing well, mate.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay. Green shoots.
Yeah. All right, fair enough.
Sunlit uplands.
All right, I'm reading the wrong publications.
Because you are part, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, you might not have got the letter yet. Right. You are part of the anti-growth coalition.
No. Back Britain, I'm tired of this.
Carry on.
Well, some people are saying that Boris Johnson should come back and save the day.
The honking pudding.
Indeed. And I'm sure if those people are into football, they will be looking at the situation at Aston Villa and saying Steve Bruce should come back and save the day. So keep an eye out for them, because there's about the
would
same logic.
Would you
give
it Bruce to the end of the season?
I
Brucey till the summer recess.
No, I don't.
He's off to the cricket. Come on. He'll take it after the World Cup.
I met a lovely Aston Villa fan in the pub last night who's a rambler. I can't say that.
Oh, that's fine then.
Yeah, okay. Isn't that lovely
of me
to say?
The last person you spoke to means you can't have an opinion.
No, I hope Bruce stinks the whole place out and you regret supporting that club. There we go. How's that? There we go.
It's a bit of BBC balance.
Yeah. So if we think of Brucey, he won't have to move that far.
He won't.
Which would be nice. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Lives in Aston, doesn't he?
He's just left West Brom, isn't he?
I'm sure Aston Villa fans will be like, "Oh, that's fair enough then." Yeah. It's convenient for his commute personally.
Exactly. We want a manager with a short commute.
He won't be tired when he turns up.
He won't be. But gentlemen, let us go there. Fulham 3, Aston Villa 0. Steven Gerrard has been sacked. He was reportedly sacked straight after the match, and then he had to get on the coach with everyone back up to Birmingham.
Awkward, isn't it?
Fighting for the back seat.
Then you really find out who respects you and who doesn't.
Tyrone
Mings throwing peanuts at him.
Oh dear, we saw Mings with his top off, didn't we? Walking, looking very dejected.
Specimen.
Yeah, we did.
But you said he's a bit of a result for him because the captaincy was stripped.
Yeah,
Mings as soon as Gerrard got there.
Something very poetic at him, just chucking one into his own net.
Yeah.
It's the final thing that happens at Gerrard's tenure.
That's
coincidental.
That's what I think of your captain. No, I didn't mean it on purpose. Saying, like, that's what we think of your decision to remove me the captaincy, son. That's one of my own net.
That's the thing, isn't it? It was one of those things that when you look at Gerrard's clumsiness at how he's managed Villa, I think getting rid of Mings was huge. Like, not just public relations own goal, but in terms of like getting the squad on side. And I think if you look at that subsequently, I mean, Marcus and I were talking about it while we sat there, and Villa were absolutely terrible last night. You know, there's no getting away from that. Yeah. It was 3-0. It could have been way worse. You know, they had a few little mini Ollie Watkins chances, but that was more or less it, wasn't it? You look at those players, They're all so below their level, so far below their level.
Well, that's what we were saying. You see the games, and Fulham were playing like a top half side against the newly promoted side.
Yeah,
and it was you know, it was ridiculous. You look at those, and you're thinking, well, how many of those Villa players on their day were getting to the Fulham side? You know, a fair few of them.
But the whole issue with Gerrard is that he just would not stick with a particular team. It's like people sort of, I hate when people sort of go, oh, it's just like FIFA this. It isn't like FIFA, it's like football manager, where you try to arrest a slide and you just throw more players in, adjust your formation. It's a new formation every week. It's a new forward line. I don't know how you gain any kind of consistency. You're kind of saddled with a couple of players like Coutinho who you know, pretty expensive flop when you kind of like judge him on his merits. And he just doesn't want to play some days, and some days he fancies it. And that whole kind of relationship hinges on whether Gerrard's in the... I don't know where he's going to go after this.
He's almost bet the farm on getting someone like Coutinho in, because it's such a big player. And he also has been backed. Your point about the change around the formation is interesting, because I think I was really surprised. It might have been the Chelsea game where they actually played okay. Looking at the combination...
They had 25 really good minutes, didn't they?
But the front three that he picked, it seems to be the different front three every single week.
But you've said that about it, which sort of echoes Pete's thoughts, doesn't it? That going forward in particular... But they think, what's the plan?
But
against teams like Chelsea, they are going to get a bit more leeway, because there's a bit more space, because the players, the teams don't come to Villa Park or play at Villa in general. Teams at that level, they're trying to get goals. Some teams rock up and they just want to defend. And when you've lost a big talismanic kind of player who can break down these kind of defenses, who set up that kind of low block, you don't have anyone to do that when you've got players like Coutinho not really fancying.
Was Coutinho just an unused sub last night?
Yeah. I mean, but the thing is, though, Fulham, what they do this season, what they've done under Silva this season, is be very aggressive, actually.
Yeah, oh, mate, front foot stuff.
Newcastle, as I say, obviously early sending off, but Newcastle's the only side that really have counteracted that, and they almost, their front footedness outweighed Fulham's front footedness, and so and that was the only time I've seen it there. But they've struck on the front foot, played a lot of the game in Villa's half, and even though the sending off came at 1-0, Fulham should have been more than one up.
Yeah, they should have been out of sight.
Harrison
by that
Reed
point.
Scored a lovely one, of course. Was it a sending off, gentlemen? A lot of people on social media. Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
That's that done. I slightly unconvincing penalty from Mitrovic, but it went in, so that's all that matters. but Villa fans throughout the game chanting, you know, you're sacked in the morning. In fact, there was one bit where all the fans were united in that chant.
That was strange how the Fulham fans started that chant and the Villa fans joined in very loudly.
It's very strange. And you know, they were saying, get out of Steven Gerrard, get out of our club. I mean, you said, Andy, that there's no way back here.
It's just poisonous.
It's poisonous.
Absolutely
toxic.
Poisonous.
And even
and
you
the way
him...
you have to come off at Craven Cottage, you have to take that sort of diagonal walk from the bench across to the sort of corner tunnel, going right past the... Away fan. It was pretty awful. Yeah, we were just thinking, we hope Amazon don't get him out for a chat afterwards. Obviously they didn't, because he was gone by then. You do wonder who's going to take charge of Villa this weekend, because they've just tweeted, Aston Villa can confirm Gary McAllister, Neil Critchley, Tom Coleshaw, Jordan Milsom and Scott Mason have all left the club following the departure of head coach Steven Gerrard.
Well, I was going to say, McAllister, you know, he was with him at Rangers and he went to Villa with him. But it's such a fall for Gerrard. You know, what he did at Rangers with that unbeaten season in the league. You thought, well, hang on a minute, he looks the part, doesn't he? And then
he looked so green. He looked so green this season.
Yeah, he did.
Just throwing everything away. I'll see what speaks. It's probably the best time to bring in a manager. Just bring someone in temporarily.
Who's your money on, Peter?
Well,
come
just
on.
Tighten it up. Get some draws up into the World Cup,
World Cup.
Well, you have to.
Depressing.
Have you seen the? Have you seen the? Have you seen how the team are playing? Yeah, they are a massive club, but that's the best thing.
Well,
who
do you fancy? Come on, who's going to get these draws? Who's going to get these draws?
Well, I get the feeling that they're doing this now before any of the other managers get sat, like, you know, possibly Jesse Marsh, because they want to be first at the manager buffet.
Just say a name.
Favorite Pochettino. Pochettino's the favorite. Morning.
Yeah,
there you are.
Do you guys think that's possible?
Well, I think it's
that he can come in and get
watchable.
A few draws.
Well, I mean, what do you mean? What's the context of that question?
Is it a big enough job for him? Because Marcus and I were discussing this last night, and
I don't think it is.
I think he's in this weird sort of netherworld where you look at the wages he's received recently. He's received elite wages. I'm not sure anyone really believes yet that he's quite an elite coach.
But he's never properly managed an elite club anyway.
Well, I guess you'd say PSG, wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't.
wouldn't you?
No. They're a Champions League.
An elite club, these really.
They're a Champions League contender.
They're not, I mean, they talk about, they're not like a grand old team of European, you know.
Yeah, but with that, you would then say Benfica an elite side, not PSG. Whereas the current climate, I mean, PSG's got Neymar and Messi.
Okay, fine. Let me qualify it by saying that Mauricio Pochettino has been a manager for about 13 years in total, right? And five at least of those years have been at Espanyol and Southampton, and the rest of them have been at Spurs. You know, Spurs are on the up, and they're a big team, and they're based in London. All the rest of it, Spurs aren't the top elite club, and he's done one season at PSG.
I think that's the whole problem with Pochettino, though, isn't it? It's that probably he sees himself, and a lot of people see him as sort of being in that elite bracket. His wages in the last couple of jobs would suggest that he's got to a Champions League final.
He ain't gonna get small wages at Villa. They get big wages at Villa.
Yeah, but does he think that he's too big for that job? That's the real question. And what is his natural level? I don't think anyone actually knows. Despite the fact he's 50,
Andy,
people think of him like a young coach.
Andy,
still, don't
Villa,
they?
No, I do take Villa's that point.
Villa's perfect for him because they're a massive club with a huge ceiling, and he can go in there when they're on a real low point with some good players to work with.
I think that's convincing. I'm just wondering, does he see it like that?
Yeah, well,
bearing in mind that he's turned down, say, Nice recently, who've got a lot of money and an ambitious
project. It's almost like a Conte going to Spurs situation, you would say.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, I think that's a good comparison.
The more interesting angle is what's next for Gerrard, because, I mean, whoever goes at Villa, manager, bot 3,000, who cares? With Gerrard, it's a really interesting story. And I think the reason that Gerrard has been unpopular at Villa and why that toxic atmosphere you guys talked about last night is perhaps, for me, more toxic than maybe it would have been, is I think partly because of a few things. One, because Dean Smith's there before, who's a big Villa fan, and generally is a kind of well-liked around that part of the world. Secondly, because the way Gerrard approached the job was almost completely solipsistic. So like Marcus was mentioning last week, he had a bit of the Joe Hart about him, and there was a feeling around there that he felt like whatever he said, he was just auditioning for the Liverpool job, really. I just need to get this Premier League experience out of the way, then I'm up to Liverpool because that's my destiny.
Isn't that outside perception rather than anything that necessarily
perhaps
he gave
it's unfair
about
on Gerrard to say that, yeah, but I think there's definitely a feeling there, and that certainly fueled the idea, I believe, that a lot of Villa fans thought that he felt like it was all about him.
Well, there's a definite disconnect, isn't there? Because I think people outside Villa saw it as a warm-up for Liverpool, whereas people inside Villa, fans of Aston Villa, saw it as quite an underwhelming appointment in the first place, didn't they?
I think that's fair. Luke, just a quick one before we move on. Carlo Ancelotti, right? Everyone would agree that he's an elite-level manager.
Yeah,
if he had Southampton on his CV, does that drag him down?
What do you mean?
I'm just saying, does that drag him down?
Well, he's got Everton on his CV,
hasn't he?
No, I'm just saying Southampton. I just think that Southampton may have tainted Pochettino for you.
Oh, no, maybe. Maybe it's just completely subconscious.
With Gerrard, though, the writing was very much on the wall when a man on Twitter is filming himself punching a cardboard cut out of him. So, which I think was, you know, when you haven't... Or maybe it's kind of like that's what you have to go through as a manager.
I think some Aston Villa fans will be probably quite pleased to see him gone.
The Aston Villa, one of the Aston Villa forums, a young, I'm presuming, man,
here we go,
is basically posted what basically the forum page said. What will you be doing to celebrate Gerrard being fired?
This great stuff.
This gentleman wrote, "I'm having a lion tomorrow on my day off. When I wake up and see that he's gone, I'm going to have a cup of tea, four bourbon creams, a long soak in the bath.
Lovely.
Then I'll jump on the number 50 to King's Heath. I'll get a few Nintendo DS or 3DS games from CEX.
Treat yourself.
And then I'm going to go home, put the internet on, and have a massive celebratory fiddle with my todger."
Oh.
So.
Okay.
What a day!
What a lovely day! I'm glad I spent it with you.
It's nice to hear the word todger again.
It is
in context, of course. Gentlemen, yes. Well, Aston Villa will be hosting Brentford on the weekend. I mean, they've not done very well against West London sides of late, have they?
Who's going to let everyone in? Daddy's just let everyone's left. Can the club captain turn up early and open the gate?
Who's got the keys? Where are the fobs? They're in an envelope. Somewhere.
I'll give my keys a go. Just give me one game. Give it me till end of season. Yes, and Fulham will be away to Leeds United, who lost 2-0 to Leicester City last night. And we're talking about, obviously, Gerrard being sacked. Is Jesse Marsh under pressure? Mm. I mean, they're winless in seven games. They were booed at half-time.
To the manager buffet!
Well, there were jeers when he subbed off Sinisterra. There was question marks when he didn't start. Was it Cooper and Harrison?
I just think it's the Halloween season for Ludwig Sinister.
Jesse Marsh says, my focus is on stopping the bleeding, perhaps going into the Halloween theme there. He said, one of the things I saw even before I came is the way the board supported Marcelo Bielsa all the way for many years, everyone internally. Is that a plea?
Yeah.
Why you guys? Be. I mean, they did sack him, Jesse. Do you remember that? So what do you think of this, Luke? Do you think he's under pressure?
Well, what I find interesting is that, so if you look at Jesse Marsh's Instagram, which I do, that's just the kind of guy I am.
Thanks for that.
That's all right. All part of the service.
I'm going to have a look now.
He's generally quite popular among Leeds fans. So, and I think that's interesting chiefly because the most toxic football fans generally do a lot of their work, if you want to call it work, online, right?
So, but as we've heard from what Peter just gave us.
Unless it's a hugely, unless it's a hugely, like, forensically curated account, which I suppose is possible, there's a lot of supportive comments on there. Now, all they're going to be doing, I suppose, is removing the negative ones, if indeed they are doing that. But there's a huge propensity of people who say they really love him and support him. That could be American fans, it might not be, I don't know. I think generally speaking, I think he's certainly currently more popular than Gerrard is at Villa. And I wonder whether...
Well, Gerrard's not at Villa.
Well, it was at Villa. And I wonder whether because, and you guys have to remind me this, I'm pretty sure against Arsenal they actually played fairly well, but they were beaten narrowly.
Yeah.
I didn't see the game last night because I can't watch two games at once, no matter how much I try.
Bielsa can.
So I'm not Bielsa.
Yeah.
I haven't got a VHS player, let alone two. So I didn't see the performance last night. Presumably it was poor. But all I'm saying is up until a few days ago, the support generally seemed to be there for him, but then again, it is sacking season. As Miguel Delaney's famously fond of saying, it's this time of year, isn't it?
I mean, I think there is a sense that he's building something where there are going to be a few cracked eggs along the way. I mean, you look at the first goal that they gave in let in last night. It was just so
soft.
Totally. It was just really like daft play.
Whereas Andy, the second one, though, I mean, we contrast Jesse Marsh at the moment to Brendan Rodgers, who was under pressure. Rogers said of Harvey Barnes' goal, it was one of the best team goals you will see this season.
So,
He's got the bit between his teeth, hasn't he? The way he framed that,
you don't think he's under pressure anymore?
I think he turned up at the club this morning with a little dog and I think he's loving life. I think brother Brendy has got his mojo back.
It's great to be that confident when you've just got a win at home to make you still 19th.
Oh yeah, win's a win's a win.
Yeah,
seven points
in three games against opposition who haven't really been that good in any of those cases.
Well, you've got to punish them, and they did.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's all you can do.
It's actually 7 points in four games because they lost to Bournemouth in between that.
Right.
It's not quite as rosy in the garden as you think,
good,
Andy.
But it's getting rosy.
Oh, home games. Home games.
While we're talking about managers under pressure, what about Southampton manager Ralph Hasenhüttl? We spoke about him recently, of course. When...
Absolute limpet of a bloke. will not go. Like Boris Johnson of football. Like, will not go.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Who's going to have to tap him on the shoulder and go, come on?
It's enough now.
Litiz?
What are you doing here? You're banned.
It's a conspiracy theory. I'm not even the manager.
No, sorry, you're not banned. You resigned from your position as ambassador to continue your quote-unquote important work.
Yeah, okay. Which is actually
what he said.
Well, Southampton have got Arsenal, the league leaders, no less, on Sunday, of course. Arsenal fresh from their victory against Ruud van Nistelrooy's PSV Eindhoven in the Europa League.
He looks great now, by the way.
Ruud?
He looks like a proper academic.
Mm. I don't think a beard suits him. He's the one man in the world that a beard just does not suit him.
I think his glasses make him look my pal Jack Pitbrook from The Athletic.
When he puts the glasses on, he looks 10 times better though. So what's the glasses get? What you gave him the glasses, the beard is taken away.
I liked before that game. He said he was expecting a good reception because he contributed to Arsenal's unbeaten season by missing a penalty.
That was good.
Yeah.
Oh, what a man. Well, Southampton. Obviously beat Bournemouth in the big South Coast derby.
Is that obvious? Did anyone notice that?
What's that? Yeah.
Obviously beat Bournemouth. Was it really a big game?
Well, I'm just saying, I think...
It's big for Gary O'Neill.
When you have such a you know, a derby of such magnitude in that part of the world.
I mean, we're all fairly certain it happened.
Yeah.
We're just not, it's obvious, is it? It's not going to live long in the memory, is it? A 1-0 win at Bournemouth.
Okay.
On a Wednesday night.
Look, just work hard and you might be back in the big South Coast derby, okay?
It's nothing to do with me, is it?
I think it is something to do with him.
As much as I try, I can't make those useless fucking idiots at Fratton Park do any better.
Get your mate with a bell to ring it a bit louder.
Mate with my bell.
You should be cheering for Hasenhüttl's work, because if it keeps going, you could be meeting them in the Championship next season.
Right, so I'm basically like Keir Starmer, just hoping Boris Johnson comes back.
Well, apparently the Southampton fans were heard singing "You're Getting Sacked" in the morning towards Hasenhüttl, despite them being 1-0 up at half time.
Yeah, I mean they do struggle, don't they?
But the thing is, you look at the squad. It's just what is anyone meant to do with that?
Mm.
Really, that is never getting out of the bottom third of the table. Never.
Yeah. But is 16th, 17th, dare I even say 15th, is that good enough for Southampton?
Honestly, I think if they escape relegation with that squad, fine, to be perfectly
honest.
Give
him another season if he gets that. Well, one of their sort of areas of danger, you would say, is free kicks, because they've got James Ward-Prowse. We know he's a dab hand. He scored 14 of the buggers in the Premier League, just 4 behind David Beckham, who holds the current record. Now, perhaps Arsenal might take some inspiration, everybody, from Colombia with regards to this, because during a Colombian First Division match last Monday, a lot of you tweeted us this, Santa Fe defender Gilson Pereira got his old chap out to distract the opposition free kick taker.
That's the stuff.
Will we see Granit
big
do the
meaty
same?
Men slapping me?
I mean, obviously the laws in Colombia will be different.
Right.
But in this country,
I
don't think you can get your genitals out of the workplace, can you?
I can say it with alarming authority that you can't, no.
Yeah, fine, yeah. Is there any news that there's been any kind of punishment for this? Or?
I don't. Well, the referee didn't see it.
I only saw the screenshot. Was there any manipulation of the genitals? Or was it just like...
Pull the shorts down.
Like this? Do you like this? I'm protecting it.
Right.
With my hands.
Maybe he knew Gerrard was going to get the sack.
Here's the worst thing about it. Presumably the free kick taker missed the free kick.
Yes.
Which then affirms the guy doing that. So his teammates are like, I'm going to do this every time.
Know, right?
The best thing could have happened there was that the guy scored.
Yes.
Then they go, right, don't do that again.
Yeah,
he scored.
Yeah. It's the lying down behind the wall, isn't it? Really? One person does it and then now everyone's doing it. Yeah. One person gets the chap out.
Is that officially known as the draft excluder?
Yeah. I don't know. It should be.
It is. Okay, fine.
It's a silly thing to do, I think.
I agree with you.
But there we are.
Yeah.
Not as silly as or as naughty as getting your old boy out, though.
No, it's not. No.
So we don't want to see any more of that.
Mine's the exact same age as me.
You what?
Nothing. Carry on. Just never understood that turn of phrase, really.
The old chap.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair.
I mean, he's wrinkly, but I mean, it's not his fault, is it?
Can you press the button, please, Mark?
No, I want to just hang on a little bit longer. Yeah.
Hang on to my winky.
Okay, there we are.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
So sorry about the. I hadn't pressed the button. I went away for a job at half time. Excuse my term of language and stuff. I'm a bit of poop.
Endless. And he just goes on and on.
Yeah.
A wee bit of poop. Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show. Oh, by the way, talking of amazing things in Scotland, did you see Kilmarnock? On was it Tuesday night when they won 2-1? There was a fan who was wearing goalie gloves in the crowd. He was like patting the players as they were coming out for the second half. Did you see that?
Just gives you a bit more winged, isn't it?
He was whacking them around the head.
I couldn't believe it.
And the fifth player just grabbed his arm, pushed it down, and he stopped doing it.
He didn't have the glove on, did he? He kind of had it half off.
Flap
them.
Was he challenging to a duel? Was that what he was doing?
Well, the thing was, I think he'd throw it on the floor for that.
No, I thought it was slap around the face.
Hence, throw down the gauntlet. That's where it comes from. The gauntlet is the glove.
True enough.
Yeah.
Well, I do, who knows? Have you seen a duel in the Kilmarnock area? No, but a slap around the face is also...
The real story here is, Pete and I, people will not remember this, but Pete and I went to see Chelsea against Newcastle once at Stamford Bridge, and there was a kid near us. When I say kid, he was probably about 18, and he had football boots with him.
Right.
And he was walking around with football boots on. I'm sorry, in his hand. And obviously he'd probably just been training, or he was going.
Was it Billy Gilmore?
It wasn't. Oh. It wasn't. I don't know. Actually, it could have been. And I just thought, do you think you're going to get a game here? And I wonder what the motivation is for the Kilmarnock fan to be taking goalkeeper gloves with him to a game.
So he gets a little bit more length.
so to speak. So he's made the calculation that from my season ticket seat, if I put a big pair of goalie gloves on, only half on, I'll get a good 3 or 4 inches extra length and I can slap people with
Someone should introduce him to those foam hands. He'd love them.
Love a bit of that.
I don't know. I think if you're going to pat players on the head, maybe it's a way of giving you extra purchase on the baldies.
He wasn't patting them. He was hitting them. He was hitting
exactly, and he wants purchase.
He does indeed. Hang on a minute, everybody. Talking of good purchases, Andy Brassel, you got a bloody book out.
I have,
called Football Murals. Who doesn't love a mural?
I love football so much I'm going to draw on the wall.
Exactly.
That's what people say sometimes, isn't it?
A lot of people around the world, apparently. It is a global phenomenon. Yes, Football Murals, a celebration of soccer's greatest street art by Andy Brassel.
Very good.
That's lovely, Andy. I'm looking forward to this because I love pictures in books.
there are words as well.
Yeah,
I know. You have to shoehorn a few in. But it's out now in all good bookstores and maybe even some bad ones. We don't know, but definitely the good ones. And I am delighted to say, everybody, that we have 5 copies to give away in a special prize draw, which we're going to do now. No. if you enjoy the show and enjoy listening to Andy, which we all do, and if you don't, then you're wrong, submit a 5-star review, screenshot it, and sling us an email to showatfootballramble.com to show us you've done it, and you'll be in with a chance of getting a copy. That's showatfootballramble.com, and we will be in touch with the winners next Friday to post those beautiful books out to you, easy as pie.
It will look great on your coffee table / kitchen worktop. /
or
nightstand.
It would look great in your background when you're giving an interview to Sky News about the latest shambles in the government. He knows what he's talking about. Exactly. He's reading Football Murals, a celebration of soccer's greatest street art by Andy Brassel.
Andy Brassel.
Good man, Andy. Looking forward to reading it.
Well done, Ando. Right, we're also looking forward to Manchester United versus Chelsea on Saturday at tea time. Of course, Manchester United beat Tottenham Hotspur 2-0. During the week.
They were very good as well.
They were. Chelsea drew 0-0 with Brentford. But it doesn't matter. We want to talk about Cristiano Ronaldo because the report said that Cristiano Ronaldo refused to come on as a sub in that win over Spurs. And then he walked down the tunnel before full time.
Yeah.
Petulant little so-and-so, isn't he?
Yeah. Say Tosser.
Tosser.
Yeah.
Tosser.
So at the opening of the show, you said he was in a huff, which I like because it really trivialises something he feels is really important to him, but everyone else thinks is a bit tragic.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not even a goat storm out. I mean, if you're talking about early exits, I think you never beat Eden Hazard leaving the ground before the end of a Belgium-Turkey match that he started and him and his dad having a burger outside at a burger van while the game is still going on.
That's that is the gold standard.
Ronaldo's never meeting that level.
Is there a mural of that in your book?
There should be.
What about Olmedo?
Yeah, that's also a good one.
Remind us of that one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. When Alain Perrin didn't pick him for the 11 of a Champions League game when he was at Marseille. Mm. And he said, oh, fuck the lot of you. I'm done with this team. Stormed out, still in his kit. His car's boxed in.
So basically,
he had to come back. And obviously, he had the cheek to say, because I'm such a good teammate, I want to support you.
I'll spin this. To go to the Cristiano thing.
Banished from the first team squad, won't play tomorrow and is apparently training alone.
And rightly so. And what's happened here is he's come up against a manager who actually is not going to stand for any of this shit.
No.
And I think we in this country who consume football regularly, like watching football on TV and all the rest of it, we have probably been seduced into thinking there's an argument here on the side of Cristiano Ronaldo because clearly he's just achieved so much in the game, has quite a lot of friends among ex-players who are now pundits who now spin this for him. And I'm not even suggesting it's some kind of like Matt Letizia type conspiracy. I don't even know they think they're doing it. They've just shared a
dressing
room.
They've been hit by the chemtrails.
yeah. And they've not got the tinfoil hats on.
No, exactly.
What I would say is they've shared a pitch with him. They've shared a dressing room with him. They know how good he's been. Mm. And so they have this opinion of how amazing
Don't you think he's still got aura and they're just flattered to have his attention?
He must have, but the reality of the situation is that if you are playing in a team game for a massive club, some people would say, although it's fallen on hard times, is the biggest club in the world, right? That's an argument.
Yeah.
So you have absolutely no right, whoever you are, to behave in this way and think there'll be no consequences for it. What he's doing, as far as I'm concerned, is completely trashing an amazing legacy under the scrutiny of the world's media over and over again because his personality is letting him down.
Yes.
And the way he approaches these things is completely unhelpful. And an example I'll give you just to finish is that a week or so ago, we're all talking about him scoring 700 goals as a player at the very top level. I think every single one of those goals, more or less, I don't even think it even includes international goals. It probably doesn't.
Yeah. No.
So all of the goals, more or less, are going to be at the very top level, which is an incredible achievement. Only three players since 2000 have scored over 600 goals. He's scored 700 now. Now nobody's talking about it. Mm-hmm. So if he wants an example of how he's trashing his own legacy, just look at that. Look at the media coverage of his 700 goals. It's non-existent now because they're talking about a grown man having a tantrum.
And
that is terrible to see for the game generally.
I don't think he realises how useful this situation is to Ten Hag as well.
Exactly.
He can consolidate his power with the players who probably find him a bit of a fucking bell end with a situation where his skills just aren't where they used to be. Mm. So at the end of the day, they've got this kind of like petulant idiot in the dressing room who just wants to about him and he's not producing what he used to.
There was a really key report about that. You're absolutely spot on. After the Spurs game, it was reported by, I can't remember who it was now, that there was really jubilant scenes in the dressing room after they beat Spurs. Mm. It was a big win for them, a great performance.
And no one's asking where's Cristiano.
No one noticed that Cristiano Ronaldo had gone.
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, I would agree with all of that. And actually, the only thing that I would disagree with, Luke, was when you said about he's met a manager who won't accept it. I think because he's such a huge figure, still, media-wise, in football, Ten Hag has to do something about it. I don't think it is a case of him meeting a coach who said, right, other coaches may have indulged you, but enough is enough. I think because of his declining force and because of his maintained profile, Ten Hag has to do something about it. And I agree with Pete, he's made it easy for him. He's made it easy for him just to shift him away to one side. Basically, they're going to have to cancel his contract, aren't they?
When it comes down to as well.
That's what they're going to have to do.
Do it now. Yeah. It's useful. Do it now. Don't wait till January. What's the point?
What it comes down to, the whole point about the thing, I saw a few pundits saying, they're 2-0 up, the game's over. Why would he put Ronaldo on? Well, because he's the coach and it's his decision and he's part of the squad. He's part of the matchday squad. And if the coach thinks that he wants to put him on, he can put him on. And if you don't want to play, that's on you, not on the coach.
Yeah, I mean, Patrice Evra stood up for Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If you're in a bit of a bit of a hole, do you want Patrice Evra jumping in? I don't know, but he said about Ten Hag, if he respected Cristiano Ronaldo's character, he would surely have to play him and play him every time.
Yeah, but he also followed that up by eating some of the pitch.
Yeah, which better than a raw chicken.
True.
Healthier.
Yeah.
Probably better for you.
Indeed, yeah. And then he shouted that he loves this game.
Let's cross over to a man who's undoubtedly eaten both. Raw chicken or grass, Pete?
Yeah. Turf and not surf.
Oh, dear. Well, Ronaldo released a statement on the incident and it said, I've always tried to set the example myself for the youngsters that grew in all the teams that I've represented. Unfortunately, that's not always been possible and sometimes the heat of the moment gets the best of us. He didn't actually apologise.
No, he didn't apologise, and it also follows up quite hot on the heels of this incident he had with this Everton fan, where he knocks a phone out of the Everton fan's hand, incurs a charge, and the first statement he releases, or his team releases, if you remember, is, Cristiano Ronaldo would not be accepting this charge. It's like, well, it ain't up to you, mate. Yeah. That is a great example of exactly the position he thinks he's in, which is completely divorced from reality.
Yeah. He's been led astray by John Peterson. He's been hanging out with JP. Maybe,
in which case, he should be crying more.
He should be crying. He should be just eating meat and crying.
And Andy, you were the man who had the microphone chucked in the river.
No.
No, I wasn't. Were you there?
I wasn't there. I was at that Euros. I wasn't there at that precise moment.
Andy was the one who had to fish it out.
Yeah. You've interviewed Cristiano Ronaldo a few times, a number of occasions.
Yeah.
Do you like him personally?
Look, he's always been really reasonable.
Okay,
I think. But look, this is unreasonable. Yeah. I don't think you can get away with that.
Would you like to make also, a plea to look at the camera up there? I'm gonna make a plea to Cristiano. The only man who can get through to Cristiano Ronaldo only respects one man, and he's here.
You're featured in the murals book.
I'll get you in the mural.
Andy, what about Chelsea? Because they make up this match with Manchester United, still unbeaten under Potter.
Todd Bowley will probably try and sign him, will he?
I tell you what, that's what they need.
Yeah.
A few more goals.
That's right. Well, it's funny, like going back to who might sign him when he's on a free, as he undoubtedly will be. Mm. I think it's really interesting when you get, say you had the president of Marseille, Pablo Longoria, coming out and saying, oh, we're only interested in players who want to work for the collective, not the individual. For Marseille, who are totally into this star idea,
hence me though,
to say that. Yeah. Exactly. But you know, for like, I guess people to not even preface that with, oh, he's been a great player and he's done so much over the years and he's been like the best player in the world over, you know, for people to go straight to that, I think it shows what a corner he's backed himself into is very, very difficult. Although what you were saying, Marcus, Chelsea at Brentford the other night, they did look really blunt, didn't they?
Well, the best bit was when the two managers were interviewed side by side.
That was amazing. You get that a lot in Germany. Anyway, I think I particularly enjoy that.
I think whoever directed that show for Amazon, that broadcast deserves a huge amount of credit for that, because I thought that was really innovative and interesting.
But I think he knew that they were two good managers for it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, but that's fair enough, isn't it?
No, I think it is.
Yeah.
We should have interviewed Gerard and Silver after the game together.
We don't ask Andy to come on and do knob gags, do we? You've got to play to your strengths.
Well, we do, but he's always refused.
He won't do it.
So we've stopped asking.
I'm going to sell my book.
We've stopped asking, but we still have hope in our hearts that he does. But yes, so Chelsea, of course, will go into the game. Five clean sheets in a row in all competitions. So we shall talk about that a little bit more in just a moment. Now, we should go straight, before we get to that Betfair segment, we should go straight to a tweet from Oliver, because our friend Raja is still up to no good, according to Oliver. He brought this to our attention with some quite stunning behaviour from Raja Nangalan, of course. The former Belgian international has been suspended indefinitely by Royal Antwerp after being caught smoking an e-cigarette on the bench before their 3-0 defeat at Standard Liège. It's been a bad week all round for him. He was arrested last week for being behind the wheel when his driver's license had expired, and he apologised on his Instagram account. He said, the club has made the decision I can only accept, even though I think it might be a bit too severe for me. But I will try to contribute in one way or another.
So I thought, first of all, it's quite harsh, because Nangalan, they knew what they were getting with Nangalan, and it is an e-cigarette. On the other
exactly.
hand, when I read about it more, I realised it was very much the e-cigarette that broke the camel's back, because the man is still on an absolute rampage.
Doing stuff.
Yeah.
He loves it, I remember when Mark Wilmots was in charge of Belgium, he said whenever they checked into somewhere, he said, you know, when you're sorting out the balance of the team and all that sort of stuff, and you're like, yeah, it's about personalities. He's like, you've always got to get Raja a room with a balcony so he can smoke throughout the day.
Yeah. It's incredible to think.
Yeah, he was it when he was playing for Roma, he was slagging off the Juventus fans who made the trip to Cardiff for the Champions League final when they got beaten by Real Madrid.
Yeah, it was like a sexy version of like Harry Redknapp's transfer deadline day, where he was like leaning out of his window on the way out of a nightclub.
That's right.
Is great
and
stuff.
And he was like, "Oh, you spent all that money, didn't you?" He's not like having a go at the club; he's having a go at the fans specifically, ordinary working people.
But Andy, was he? I mean, I looked it up and tried to find a few highlights, but I couldn't really find much. Was he making a contribution with Royal Antwerp at that point?
Yeah, he's done all right, and they have had a great start to the season. Not just him, of course. Toby Alderweireld, Vincent Janssen,
nice. Good start to the famous. Yeah. I'm not sure Toby Alderweireld's done that much to be bracketed in the same category as Vincent Janssen. That's a bit harsh on him. I like that Nangolan said, "Look, we've had a good start to the season. I'd like to negotiate with you, the coach, to have maybe one e-cigarette a half."
Right, okay.
A half when I'm on the bench.
Yeah.
Have a little one of those patches.
Yeah.
A little Nicorette gel or something.
It's nothing cool. The thing about it is that, like, whether we like it or not, there's nothing cool, is there, for Nangolan about a patch?
No, unless he's chewing them.
It's not performing. Yeah. As Jim was saying on social media, just do the old Maurizio Sarri, just chew them.
Yeah, just chew them.
Anyway,
treat him like Haribo.
It's time for Betfair's popular bet builder. But before we get to that, this week is Safer Gambling Week, and our partners Betfair believe the fun is in fairness. Fair means power to the players. It means a way to play where you're in control. That's why Betfair has created online tools that allow you to manage your spending with deposit limits, give yourself a safety net by setting a limit on losses, or get a reminder to take a timeout if you need a break. So to learn more about that, go to safergambling.betfair.com. Right, on to Betfair's popular bet builder. Select from the most popular pre-made football bet builders and you can add them to your bet slip in one handy tap. Every Friday on the preview show, we'll be building our own Ramble popular bet builder for a particular game happening each weekend. We'll keep a running tally through the season of who's pulling their weight and who's letting the side down. This weekend, it's Chelsea v Man United, the aforementioned big game at 5:30 on Saturday. Andy, you're first up. What are you going for, my friend?
Less than 3.5 goals. Mm. I think this has got KG written all over it.
Under 3.5. Still gives you a little bit of wriggle room as well, that.
Yeah, I think so.
So, you know, for example, 3 goals in the game, it's still under 3.5, so it still would work. Okay, Peter?
I'm going to go for Mason Mount to score or assist.
Very nice. He's been in good form, hasn't he? He's done pretty well recently. Potter loves him. Exactly the kind of player Potter wants to get right amongst it. Did he draw a blank against Brentford? Though he did, didn't he? So we're hoping he's going back to form for this game. Marcus?
Over 2.5 cards.
Okay.
Of the yellow or red variety.
So it can be any colour?
Yes.
Do you think it's going to be a kind of tempestuous game?
I think it is. I think KG and tempestuous is going to be the vibe.
It's always a bit of a difficult one, I think, for this season doing that because it seems like referees are letting a lot more stuff go now. Mm. I mean, even earlier you were saying when Mitrovic got headbutted, was that a red card?
Definitely. Well,
a lot of people, definitely a red card.
A lot of people thought it wasn't.
But he headbutted him. So what's their point?
Yeah. Well, it is a good counter argument.
You can't just say this happened to
me. It's a good counter argument.
Playing Sunday League once, our goalkeeper punched a forward and got sent off.
Yeah.
And our coach, I was on the bench at the time. Mm. Our coach was saying, "I don't think that's a sending off." And I was like, "He's punched him in the head. It's obviously a sending off." Yeah. So anyway, over 2.5 cards. That's 3 or more cards. My selection is along a similar line to Marcus, a card for Bruno Fernandes. Andy, would you like to tell me how likely that is to happen?
Oh, very likely.
He's a very tempestuous player.
Yeah, he gets hot under the collar during these big games, doesn't he?
He's right up there.
Especially like if you're looking post Ronaldo for someone to take that mantle for Manchester United of overdeveloped responsibility, Fernandes is your man.
There we go. So in summary, under 3.5 goals, Mason Mount to score or assist one of those goals, over 2.5 cards and a card for Bruno Fernandes of any colour. Mm-hmm. A £5 bet with Betfair on that popular bet builder returns £82.01. If we win, all that money will go to Prostate Cancer UK, which is a really important charity. I'm sure everyone can agree. We'll be back with another round of Betfair's popular bet builder on the preview show next week. Exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook, T&Cs apply, 18+. For more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org.
All right, it's time for this.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
He doesn't know what an encyclopedia is. I mean, should he do? Because, I mean, he's probably too young for Encarta.
Imagine being too young for Encarta. Know, what a terrible right? existence.
I know.
We're all too young for the Magna Carta.
It's just Magna Carta, apparently.
Yeah.
Not the Magna Carta.
Yeah.
It's like the El Clasico.
Yeah. But Pete, would you say that whenever anyone talks about the encyclopedia thing, goes, you know, I'm on Jack's side here, he doesn't need to know.
No.
Everyone always then points you to that video of him not being able to point out his
point out where Birmingham is. Yeah. That was a shame. He let himself down. He probably could have done with an encyclopedia.
And you're going to say to me, does he really need to know where he lives?
No, again, he doesn't. He doesn't, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's got a GPS.
Knock on a door, walk in.
Yeah. All right, I'm Jack. Right, it's time for a game that we call Jack's Encyclopedia. I will give you all a category, and all you have to do is give me an answer that fits into that category. It'll be pretty simple once we get going. You'll keep going around giving answers, and if you can no longer give a correct answer, you are out. If you're taking too long, I'm going to play a bit of Gary Neville, and you've got until the end of Gary Neville's orgasm to give you a correct answer. No repetition of a previous answer. The last person standing gets the point. And three rounds, and I've got a tiebreaker question in case everyone is drawing.
Can I just say that I am currently sat and to opposite Andy Brassland, to the right of Marcus Spillett, in the toughest position in football podcasting right now.
Do you think because Andy's let himself and, to be quite frank, the game down a couple of times this season, which surprised me.
But I was expecting you to say your family.
Your family.
Andy on a shit day is still like galaxy brain stuff. So I'll give you a little insight. There's no fear factor with respect to them with Jim. I'm not saying I'll beat them.
No,
I'm not saying I'll beat them, but I'm not frightened of playing Jim. I'm not frightened of playing Pete or Vish or Kate or Jules.
Yeah.
I'm frightened of Jules for other reasons. There's a fear factor with you two. It's almost like the prospect of playing against you is harder than the reality. Mm. But the reality is also hard.
Right, good point.
Well, you see.
Right.
Janet, should we gang up on
you? I should probably. Marcus is seeing this whole spiel by me as some kind of mind game, aren't you?
Of course, yes.
Would you very much like your first category, gentlemen?
Yes, we would.
Shall we start with...
Laptops down. Yeah.
Laptops down. I mean, it would be quite hubristic to start tapping away. It'd be quite obvious you were tapping away, to be honest.
Just checking the weather.
Yeah.
Start with me, are you?
I'm going to start with you, Luke,
okay,
if that's all right with
you.
Four. All right, category one, the all-time Premier League top scorer at each of the Premier League's 20 current clubs.
Bloody
the
hell.
All-time Premier League top scorer at each of the Premier League's 20 current clubs. So you kind of have to know who's in the league.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to know who's their top scorer.
That is a really good question.
So their top scorer of all time?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll go with...
In the Premier League.
Yeah, fine. I'll go Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
Wayne Rooney at Manchester United, correct. Can I have the club as well, please, if that's all right?
Wayne Rooney at Manchester United.
Thank you.
Thierry Henry at Arsenal.
Thierry Henry at Arsenal, correct.
Alan Shearer at Newcastle United.
Alan Shearer at Newcastle United. Easy.
Right, there's the big three out of the way. Bring on the shit show.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness me.
It's not easy,
okay,
is it?
Okay, Harry Kane at Spurs.
Harry Kane at Spurs, correct. Good stuff.
Very quick on that button.
No, because you were prevaricating by having a chat.
I know.
About, yeah. Nice. I see what you're doing. I like a speller.
Frank Lampard at Chelsea.
Frank Lampard at Chelsea. Ooh, Andy Brassel.
Very good.
It's not easy.
Sorry, it has to be in the Premier League era.
Yes.
Oh, quick
Premier League top scorer.
He's harsh, Pete.
I am.
That
quick
is
game's a good game.
Brutal. I am going to say Paolo Di Canio at West Ham.
Oh, that's not right, unfortunately, Andy. Oh, that
Brassel's
is a shame.
Out.
That is a shame.
I'm absolutely cock-a-hoop here.
I told you, sometimes he stacks it in the first round and he can never get it back. I'm worried about him. He's been busy with his books, writing his books.
My problem is I can't remember what Marcus said the first time around.
Let's have it. It's Torres!
Oh, it's quick on the button.
Steven Gerrard, Liverpool.
Well played.
Incorrect.
Oh.
Incorrect. Marcus Speller, I'm going to need one from you,
you
so you can win the round,
me.
My well, friend.
Who would it be?
How could it be? Who could
would
it be?
It be at Liverpool, then?
Yeah.
I'll have Mo Salah at Liverpool.
Incorrect.
Oh. Who are we going at Liverpool? Come on.
Okay, so I'm back in.
Wait, this is a shootout.
So are we not all back in?
No, because when you went out,
that
it
was the last
first.
Round.
I got one. You're done.
Okay, right.
I will go with Luis Suarez at Liverpool.
If everyone's having a fucking
stinker. So I'm glad you didn't say him. Surely it's Robbie Fowler at Liverpool.
It is Robbie Fowler.
I
did think Suarez.
That was a really funny round.
That's incredible to think because, I mean,
Alisson at Liverpool.
Yeah. The amount of goals they've scored in recent history, it's still Robbie Fowler. Amazing.
Okay. Can we have some of the others?
I was going to move on, but Gabby Agbonlahor, Aston Villa, Josh King at Bournemouth, Ivan Toney at Brentford, which is funny.
Oh, that'd have been an obvious one. Yeah, really obvious one.
Just absolute handfuls of goals.
Yeah. Who's the Fulham one? Would it be Dempsey?
Fulham, Clint Dempsey, correct.
I thought it was either.
Viduka at Leeds, Aguero at Manchester City, obviously, Vardy at Leicester.
Another obvious one.
Vardy.
Yeah, Vardy.
Is it Matt Letizia or Southampton? Or do we need a little bit more research on the matter?
Well, I've done a lot of my own research into it.
There we go.
Raul Jimenez at Wolves. Moving on to category two. I'm going to start with Marcus this time. Is that right? Teams that have made more than 40 goal line clearances in the Premier League. Since 2006. Don't whinge at me.
No, for a fact,
I didn't write these questions.
I'm not whinging. I'm wanting to clarify that. 40...
And I will not press the button early because you need to know what this is. Teams that have made more than 40 goal line clearances in the Premier League since 2006. There are 18 teams. Bloody. Teams that have made more than 40 over the goal line clearances in the Premier League since 2006. The official Premier League website does not record the stat before 2006.
So I guess what the Premier League are saying there, then, it would be officially, according to their data, the ball's on the line when it's cleared.
And
they've got it's teams that have done more than 40 of them.
But then chaos teams.
Not necessarily current Premier League sides.
Let me translate it. Yeah. Just name a team.
Yeah. Is it current or just all time? Is it
since 2006?
It doesn't matter. They were in the Premier League when they did it.
Right. Okay. Everton. Come on,
Andy Brassel.
Never seen a man so obviously physically relaxed after getting that dot. That.
Andy Brassel.
Arsenal.
No way.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Luke, chaos clubs.
Yeah, I'm looking for teams that have been in the Premier League for a long time. I'll go Aston Villa.
Nice.
Yeah, it's not a bad tactic, actually, is it? Marcus?
West Ham.
Andy
Chelsea.
Bassett. Chelsea.
Two good, surely. Oh,
so is this every Premier League club? Stoke must have.
I thought about them.
They haven't.
I'm surprised.
Is another S club, but that's having it. Marcus,
can you stop giving clues after I'm already out?
Shut up, Marcus.
Fucking agent of chaos.
I had this one lined up already. Burnley,
correct.
I almost went for them, but I went Stoke instead.
Manchester United,
correct. Marcus, it's getting intense.
Spurs.
Correct.
Come on.
Andy Brassel.
Newcastle United, because Stephen Taylor probably did about four of them in action that time.
All of them, yeah.
Either pretending he's dead or not. Marcus.
That's annoying. Southampton.
Oh, you're out if Andy can give us another one.
Andy, you can
there's only
the
a few left now.
Only you can get the point.
Sunderland.
Top five for reference. Chelsea in fifth, Sunderland in fourth with 66 goal line clearances, Aston Villa with 77, West Ham United with 78, and your friend of mine, Newcastle United, with 89.
Nice.
Love it.
Presumably all done by Stephen Taylor.
That's a pleasing stat at Newcastle atop of that.
Nice stat, isn't it? Nice. Yeah. Jock club.
All right,
they make
first.
The most of the whole pitch.
Okay. Third, possibly final category. England players with only one cap under Gareth Southgate. I fear you're going to be hearing a lot of Gary Neville in this round. England players with only one cap under Gareth Southgate. There are 15 players. We are strictly talking about caps under Southgate. They may have had more caps under other managers, but they've only had one under the bevested one. All right.
Ooh,
Andy's up first.
Tough. Andy Brassel.
Get him out
ready?
First.
Let's have it.
Get him out the way.
Let's have it.
Shithead. James Maddison.
Oh, that was mine.
I had that as well.
That's the only one I knew.
Shall we just move on the end now?
Yeah. That's the only one I knew. Oh, goodness me. I'm going to have a little flyer at Harry Winks.
Oh, unlucky, Lukey, unlucky. Difficult, difficult Listen, round.
The only way this could be worse for me would be if I somehow burgeoned my reputation and burnished it by knowing quite a lot about England.
Yeah, exactly.
Marcus.
Host of Lions Watch.
He's either had one or two. Jared Bowen.
Andy Brassel wins.
Well done, Andy. A pathetic contribution from us that last one.
I enjoyed it. I think I'd like to thank my researchers for writing some excellent questions there. I think they were really, really solid stuff. And yeah, great stuff. Do you want some England players with only one cap under
Gas?
Gay.
Bamford, Barnes, Chalobah, Klein, Cook, Cork, Dunk, Greenwood, Henderson, Jagielka, Justin, Madison, McCarthy, Redmond, and Solanke. Hoi.
That's a really great list. Mm.
Dean Henderson.
I like the way
Dean
he said
Henderson,
it.
Yeah.
I like the way
it was good. It was good. Worth it.
Can you do that again?
No. Do you want me to do it backwards? Solanke, Redmond, McCarthy, Justin Jagielka. Ah, the Jagielka fucked me up.
Three every syllables, striker in the Premier League era.
Oh, dearie me. There we are, everybody. Yeah. Well, marvellous. We're at the end of the show.
Yeah,
we've made it. We've made it. Before we go, Lions Watch is back. Luke and I will be more at the races.
So we're talking
with our England chat
tomorrow. We're talking about Ivan Toney, aren't we?
We might well be. Yeah. Join us every Saturday as we chat all things England in the build to the World Cup. Build up to the World Cup, of course. We are talking about strikers. Ivan Toney, has he overtaken Tammy Abraham in the pecking order? There's a picture of Peter Reid. Is that relevant?
In a hotel bar with a big picture. The monkey's head behind it, and he's loving it. He's loving life.
It's just out of shot. He's sat on a tyre.
Obviously, he's in a hotel bar.
I love Peter Reid. I just think he inhabits the space in my brain that goes, nice place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Him and the cat bin lady. It's a nice place. Don't think about me enough.
And the canoe man. Yes. Well, on Lions Watch, we'll also hear from Peter Reid. No, we'll hear some of your hot takes, of course. We've got a scorcher from Jose Mourinho. He got in touch in a way. But that's all over on the Football Ramble feed. To get your ears around that tomorrow. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. The keys are out, everybody. They're in the lock. There we go.
I think it's the measure of man that you've got three keys on that.
Three?
Get more keys.
I've got five on there.
Five on there.
Yeah, you were only two out.
The weekend is officially open.
Here we are, everybody.
By the speller.
Indeed it has. I'm on fire, Andy. What about you?
Always.
Put your phone down.
Hey, show's
not finished. You know what I mean? He's trying to find Pitbull.
Totless publisher.
Right, everybody, there we are. Thank you very much, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Give me the numbers.
Thank you, Luke.
Give me the fucking numbers.
Thank you.
Are you ready to get your fucking results? Thank you, everybody. Have a good weekend.
Beep, beep.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.